Today's message comes from the book of Habakkuk, not a well-known book, a book that only has three chapters. And I did as much as I could to study this whole book this week, and I wasn't able because time didn't permit for me to study as much as I wanted to about it, because it has an incredible message as part of it. And I would encourage you to just take some time to read the whole book. Chapter 3 is especially a psalm that praises God and thanks God for things. But let me read the first four verses of chapter 1, and then we will skip down to the first four verses of chapter 2. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Now down to chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appropriate time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." As I've studied this week and looked deeper into this and Habakkuk's complaint to God, yes, you can complain to God. It's okay. I often think, sometimes people tell me that, oh, don't complain to God. You just accept what comes as God's will. I've complained many times throughout my relationship with God about different things. And contrary to some people's theology, when you complain to God, God doesn't strike you dead on the spot. Okay? I always think of it this way. God is big enough to allow me to voice my concerns and my complaints. And God wants me to. Because one of the things that people will also tell me, their theology says that God knows everything. Well, if God knows everything, then God already knows my complaint. And by not speaking it, I'm not hiding it. I'm just not admitting it to myself. By not speaking it, I'm not allowing myself to hear that I have a complaint. Because, you know, as Christian folks, we're never supposed to complain, right? Never. But people do all the time. It's okay to complain, and that's what Habakkuk does in this prayer of lament. He's lamenting things. This prayer of lament is right before the Babylonian captivity of Judah. The Babylonians are on their way. In Habakkuk, they're called the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans and the Babylonians are the same people. They're on their way. They are going to take Judah captive. They're going to take Jerusalem captive. They're going to destroy the town. They're going to destroy the temple. And all of this because God's people have not followed what God asked them to do. And since that has happened, God has basically told prophets, I'm going to allow someone who's even worse to come in and punish you. Now, that's kind of hard to accept for me. God says, you haven't listened to me. So I'm going to bring in somebody that doesn't like justice even more than you do, and they're going to come in and punish you. And they're going to take you into captivity. And we know from history that this captivity lasted 70 years. Generations passed before the people went back. 70 years, this captivity is going to happen. And the idea of the Babylonian captivity, as opposed to the Assyrian captivity, which happened in Israel, the north part, the Assyrians come and they bring some of their people and they take some of your people back home and they all intermarry and they all make one society. And come to Jesus' time and that one society in the northern of Israel is called the Samaritans, which the people in the southern part of Israel, the state of Judah, they don't like the Samaritans. They don't like them because they've intermarried with other tribes. They have not kept their Jewish faith whole and complete. They have intermixed. So they're not good people. Well, now the good people in the south that have been taking and making sure that they remain Jewish and follow the Jewish laws, God says, you're not following them close enough. And you're not doing what I asked you to do. The Babylonians or the Chaldeans are going to come in and to overtake you. And Habakkuk starts this prayer by saying, Lord, why do you let this happen? Why do you let injustice go on? Why are you not stopping it? Why are you not setting things straight? I mean, verse 2, he says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Have you ever said prayers that you just feel that God never heard? Did they kind of floated up and they hit the ceiling and they fell right back to the floor? And this is what Habakkuk is saying. He's saying, God, why? There's this violence going on. All this is happening. Why are you letting this happen? Why do you let wrong people rule? Why do you let wrong people gain the advantage? God, when will you set that right? And Habakkuk basically says, why do I have to keep looking at this? Because everywhere I turn, that's all I see. You see, God's people are not living God's ways, and Habakkuk wants and waits to see justice happen. That's what he's talking to God about. I want justice to happen, God. I want the right things to be put right. And I want it right now. Wow, does that sound like our society today? This may be a message that's centuries old, but it's also a message that works for today. Habakkuk's words are words that we need to hear. Why? Where wars have gone on for 2 and 3 years? Sometimes just because one or two people want what they want. Injustice, violence. Why do we have to keep seeing it? Why do we have to see it in the newspaper? Why do we have to see it online? Why do we have to watch it on television? Why? Habakkuk's prayer of lament, of hurt, of pain is still a prayer for today. Why is injustice happening? Because it does. Why? He says the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. A prayer that still works today. A prayer that is just as relating to our society as it was to Habakkuk's. And then in the beginning of verse 2, it's still, or chapter 2, it's still Habakkuk's words. When Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me and what answer I am give to this complaint. Habakkuk says, Lord, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to bring this to you. I'm going to continue to lament. I'm going to continue to tell you that I'm seeing violence. I'm seeing wrong. I'm seeing injustice. I'm seeing wrongdoers ruling. And I'm going to watch to see when you start setting it straight. I'm going to look. I'm going to wait. Maybe you've had a prayer that you've prayed for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years, for most of your Christian life, and you haven't seen it answered. Habakkuk says, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to watch. I'm going to look. It's almost as though he's saying, I'm going to watch and I'm going to look so I don't miss the answer when it comes. He's not standing there saying, God, I'm going to watch and you better get it straight right now. He prays a prayer of lament, but he also says, I know you're going to answer my prayer. And I'm just going to watch how you do it. I'm just going to watch. And I'm going to be prepared and ready to see how you answer this prayer. Well, God does reveal to him in verses 2, 3, and 4 in the second chapter. God reveals to him it will happen at the appointed time. And that this message should be spread with all haste. Now, there's really two concepts of time in the Greek. I know that the Old Testament's written in Hebrew. But Habakkuk is leaning on this understanding of time. You see, there's an understanding of time that goes by the watch. Okay? There's an understanding. We start worship service at 10:30. Not at 10:15. Not at 11:15. Not at 11. There's a time that we start. That's watch time. Okay, the time that's expressed here, that's expressed in the Greek word kairos, is the right moment for something to happen, the right time for something to happen, that everything is almost everything is pregnant with this is the moment that this should happen. Okay, so when you meet Jesus in the Gospels and he tells people it's not time yet. He doesn't mean anything about clock time. He means it's not the right moment. Things have not been brought together for this specific moment. And God tells Habakkuk, I will answer your prayer. I will. I promise you, I will. But it's only going to happen at the right time. The appointed moment that is the best moment for that to happen. That's when it's going to happen. Now, how many of us are willing to wait for the appointed right moment? Imagine you go to lunch after church and you order something at a restaurant and they tell you the right appointed moment for your steak will be 2:00. How satisfied are you going to be? Are you just going to sit there and wait? Probably not. You don't care what the appointed moment is. You want it right now. I ordered it now. I want it as soon as you can cook it. I'm not waiting for the appropriate moment when it's the right moment to have this wonderful ribeye sitting in front of me. You see, we need to separate those times in our head, and we need to understand there's two different times, two different concepts of time, because what happens to us is we don't think about it that way. We only think about, I want it now, and that's Habakkuk's prayer. Why not now? And God says, I will answer you at the right moment when it's the very best moment. This will happen. And then God also says something that should ring with us. Verse 4, God says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. God says the righteous person will live faithfully in their relationship with me. I often like when we talk about things in the church and we talk about, well, what do we need to do to take the next step? And somebody will say, well, we just need more faith. And for 29 years of ministry, I've always wondered, what does that mean? And when I ask that question, nobody ever can answer it. We just need more faith. Well, what does that mean? And God says here that the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Having more faith means living in right relationship with God every moment that you can. And having more faith means that I'm going to do more to live better in my relationship with God. It's not like having more faith is something I can pick up and put in my pocket. Now I got more faith in my pocket so I can do what God wants me to do. Having more faith means that I'm willing to do more to be who God wants me to be. And I'm willing to step into where God wants me to be. And I'm willing to do ministry where God wants me to be. That's having more faith. That's what it means. And God says, the enemy's puffed up. You might know a person or two that's puffed up. They know they're always right. Does anybody know that person? I think there's only one of them. They're puffed up. They know what's right. They know what needs to be done. But God says that person's desires are not upright. The puffed up person is not the person that's right. But the righteous person is the one who lives a deeper relationship with God in a deeper way, in a more right way each day than you did the day before. That's what it means to have more faith. So I want to recognize to you that there's some things here that Habakkuk does that we should do. We should cry out. We should watch, and we should live our relationship with God faithfully when we see injustice happening around us. We need to cry out. When things are not right, have you cried out about the war in Ukraine? Have you cried out about what's happening in Gaza to the people there? Because a lot of what's happening in both places is injustice to people that are innocent. Yes, there are people that are living wrongly. Yes, there are people that are doing the wrong things. But there's a lot of people that are being hurt that are innocent. Just as there is in our country, people who are being hurt who are innocent because of where society puts them and places them and separates itself from them. That's injustice. That is injustice. We should cry out about these things to God. And we should let God know that I know it hurts God's heart. It should hurt ours too. When these things happen, it should hurt ours. And then we should watch to see how God's going to answer that prayer. We should watch so that we can recognize when God starts working in a way and God starts doing something. Because then we can celebrate. then we can be excited because God has answered our prayers. And God is putting injustice aside and bringing justice. And we should be excited about that when God does that. But you know what it all boils down to? It all boils down to, are you living your relationship with God in the right, most right possible way? Is there something that God has asked you to do, but you haven't done it? Is there some way that, okay, I'm going to use a wrong word now. Is there some way that God has asked you to change? There you go, I said it. Folks, I'm not the person I was in the early 80s. I'm not that person. And I know for a fact, the person I was in the early 80s, you never would have hired as a pastor. Never. Wouldn't even have given a thought. Even if I gave a thought to put in an application. You would have gone, nope, that's the wrong one for sure. I've changed. I've changed because Jesus Christ has come into my life, brought me salvation, brought me eternal life, shown me that God loves me and cares for me. And I want other people to hear the same thing. Because there's other people out there that don't realize that. They don't know that. They've never heard it. And I know somebody's going to say, but there's a church, there's three churches right here within a block. How can people not hear it? Guess what? They haven't. Because I told you before, I never saw a Bible till I was 16. Never. And nobody ever told me that Jesus Christ was willing to save me and bring me salvation until I was 18. Nobody ever told me that. And I'm convinced there's other people out there like that. You see, we need to cry out to God when we see the injustice. We need to watch for how God's going to answer our prayers. And we need to live our relationship right with God. That's faithfulness. That is faithfulness. Do you need to be more right in your relationship with God? Do you need to be more right? Or I could say it another way. Do you need to change how you relate with God? What you talk with God about, how you listen to God, how you follow God's directions. Because I want you to go back to what's happening to these people. They weren't living their relationship with God right. And God says, I'll send somebody to punish you. So that maybe you'll get an idea on how to get it right. How about you? Are you living your relationship right with God in the best possible way? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, it really is amazing how much grace you have for us. It really is incredible how much you love us and you stand out for us. So Lord, as we come to you right now thinking about what we need to do in our relationship with you, all of us have ways that we can grow. All of us have ways that we can expand our relationship with you. All of us have things that we really need to do and need to be. So, Lord, help us to search our hearts as we prepare for communion. Help us to search our hearts for how we can have a relationship that's more faithful, more right to what you want us to have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.